Hail Dictinus, grant us clear voices, strong sound, and good reads. It's simple. When you aren't rationalizing whether something is real or not, you could very well be in a trance state deep enough for successful magic. Welcome to Spirit Work Traditions, the 263rd episode of Three Pagans and a Cat. Our opening today is courtesy of author and magician Andre Vitimus. Our opening and closing music is credited as Frost Waltz Alternate by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 4.0. You may call me Ode.
Merry meet. My name is Gwyn, Ode's mother.
We did not do our recording last week, so we're doing a recording this week, and then we'll do a recording again next week, and then we'll be back to our bi-weekly schedule.
I had a migraine.
Yes, Gwyn had a migraine, so we opted out because it's not good to record when you feel so poorly. Mm-hmm. But we're here to record last week's belated episode. And it is coincidentally April 1st as we are recording this, which means it is the first episode of the month, technically speaking. So we're going to do the patron names.
Okay.
Even though we did the patron names just last episode.
But we're technically
in the start of the month. Once again, we will
make it. You get to hear it again.
Which is one app back to back patrons. Okay. There are 34 kittens. Thank
we
you,
love kittens.
And
everybody loves kittens.
Don't they just? Mm-hmm. There are 24 cats, and their names are Acaligus, Nora, Stephanie Danielson, Annalise Scharfenberger, Ivaner, Renjamin, Tiffany Kozash, Ebby, Nikki Norcross, Renee N., Amber Stark, Caitlin McLaren, Annabelle Lee, Rose Shepherd, Candy Russell, The Dryad, Maddie Kuhns, Kai Oakenshield, Alyssa Durka, Kelly Burt, Shakora, Rebecca Hillman, Quinn Ann ASMR, and Cindy Barrick.
We love you, cats.
Thank you, cats. There are 39 hunters, and their names are Thumper Daytime, Xena White Owl Rhea, Heather Doyle, Ames of Ashland, Amara Sapphire Wolf, Dwyer, Sarah Goff, Leanne Gee, Scout, Lisa N., Annie Ray, Tom Warfell, C.J. Kaufman, Hexaluna, Accipiter, Cameron Grant, Ashley Ann, Don Taylor, Maharet, Crimson Ryan, Druidic Heart, Mach 2556, Alicia Noble, Roanoke, The Wiccan Wizard, Samwise the Blonde, Goddess Incognito, Rhiannon M. Gray, La Petite Poison, Loriana Lee Knapp, Ryan Hopkins, David Dashifen Keys, Chris Colibri, Sky Bierce, Sarinth Odinson, Whispers of the Grove, Alyssa Addy, Dahlia Darge, Jessica Jones, and Charles Howison.
We love you, hunters.
Thank you, hunters. There are 6 tigers, and their names are Yuki Quinn, Around Grandfather Fire, Weavers of the Web ATC, Kelly and Jim, Amanda Hicks, and Crystal of Apothecary Tees.
We love you, tigers.
Thank you, tigers.
Finn says they love us, too.
There are 4 leopards, and their names are Michaela Bell-Persh, Jody Cozy, Luna, and Gary Bearstorm.
We love you, leopards.
Thank you, leopards. And there are 3 jaguars, and their names are Silver Wolf Arrow, Nolan Hayes, and Justin Stanage.
And we love our
jaguars. So that is the names of our patrons. Thank you, patrons.
Thank you, patrons. And as always, we really do appreciate everything you do for us.
Vastly appreciate.
We know how tough times are right now, how expensive everything is getting.
And mood.
And
we relate.
We absolutely relate. And, you know, it's tough. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who are still able to support us, we truly, truly appreciate you.
Yep. You're really making our lives work right now.
Yes. Yes.
In a very real way.
In a very real way. So we very much appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Any other housekeeping we need to do?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
Okay. Then we are house kept and
house swept
with a tiny broom.
That's right.
She brought it. I'm very proud of you.
It lives with the altar space
yes.
now.
All right. We are talking about spirit work and spirit work traditions today. So the first thing that's probably worth talking about is the shamanism question.
Mm-hmm.
So I prefer to call these traditions spirit work traditions for several reasons, mostly related to cultural appropriation.
Right.
So shamanism is probably derived from a Tunguskic word, which is a language group in Siberia from Evenki and other Siberian tribes. It is not a universal label. It was picked up from Siberia by originally some Russian ethnographers, and then it spread through Western academia and was broadly applied to a lot of religious and magico-religious practices across the world. And it is, modern scholarship does not really consider these practices to be shamanism, right? Mm-hmm. Shamanism is a specific magical religious practice of certain tribes in Siberia. Using it in this really broad way is probably cultural appropriation, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a colonialist legacy. It is not something that I support, I would say, using the word shaman sort of willy-nilly for practices that originate from other places, from other traditions. Mm-hmm. I am familiar with Michael Harner's core shamanism. So it was a combination of the disbursement of shamanism as a term through academia with that Campbellian sort of blending of cultural motifs and sort of condensing them down to their bare bones and trying to, the comparative mythology work that Joseph Campbell did that I have some problems with.
Right.
Harner basically did that, but more.
Right.
And he tried to strip quote unquote shamanism down to its most sterile and least culturally connected elements. Mm-hmm. So the core shamanism that he created is a completely, it is a creature that is completely divorced from any cultural roots, mm-hmm. intentionally so. And it really just uses the legacy of spirit work traditions around the world, in especially native cultures, mm-hmm. as like a prop to give it legitimacy.
Yeah.
So I know there are a lot of people who subscribe to core shamanism or who have built their practices on core shamanism. I think we should do our best to move away from core shamanism because it really is not, it's not built on good foundations, I guess I would say. Mm-hmm. It's not built on strong spiritual foundations, and it's not built on good academic foundations, and it's not built on good ethical foundations.
Yeah, yeah.
There's also the whole issue of quote-unquote plastic shamans. Okay. I don't know if you've heard this term before. Mm-mm. So this was coined by Native American and First Nations peoples, mostly activists. A lot of Native American tribes and First Nations have applied the term shaman to some of their spiritual practices, or they have had, more correctly, they have had the term shaman applied to some of their spiritual practices and spiritual practitioners. Mm-hmm. Usually, more accurately, the term would be something like medicine man, but you will see a lot of commercialized First Nations or Native American shamanism.
Right.
Right?
Right. That's with air quotes, by the way.
With big air quotes, yeah. And it is, so First Nations and Native American people, because this term has been applied to them a lot, mm-hmm. Even though it is not, technically speaking, again, their term for anything, they have pushed back against especially white people claiming to be shamans and especially claiming to be, quote, Native American shamans or to have learned Native American shamanistic practices or whatever, or using these sort of tropey trappings of a usually fake Native American shamanism. Mm-hmm. So plastic shaman is a term that was coined by Native American activists, I think, in the 90s and early aughts, to point out essentially spiritual frauds.
Right.
People who were claiming to have deep spiritual knowledge, usually from a native tribe somewhere, or more often from just sort of an ambiguous the natives, like rarely identifying a specific tribe that they had learned from or a specific tradition they had been trained in, because usually they weren't.
Right.
But so if you see someone described as a plastic shaman, what that it's basically a derogatory term used by activists to point out people who are claiming to have spiritual authority that they likely do not have.
Right.
And especially who are appropriating the cultures of tribal nations to do so.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of mess involved in the term shaman and shamanism. And that's why I very much prefer not to use the term shamanism.
Yeah, I try to stay away from that as well.
Yeah. I'm very resistant to... Amara says, is that what the OOs are called? Yeah, they're called the aughts. The 2000 to 2010 period is called the aughts. So I prefer... the term spirit work, and for the person who practices spirit work, spirit worker. These words are accurate because they describe what the thing is. They're clear, so because there's no ambiguity about what the subject is, and they're simple. And they're good umbrellas that you can put a lot of other traditions underneath of, right? Rather than trying to do this condensing thing that Michael Harner did with his core shamanism, you can set up spirit work as just an umbrella under which a lot of different traditions fit inside. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Finn says, in the words of my friend Leroy, who is a Tonkawa Otoa Mizura, there ain't no fucking white shamans. Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Logistically speaking, if you want to get back to the actual origin of the word, there aren't Native American shamans either. There are Tunguskic shamans, right? There are Evenki shamans, because that's where the word comes from, and that's what it specifically applies to. There are Native American medicine men, and there, like I said, there are Native tribes who have, because the word shaman has been applied to them, it has been sort of adopted into their vocabulary, especially, I think, in tribes where what might have been the word for this tradition in their native language has been lost.
Right.
Because there's been a lot of language loss in some of these tribes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sadly.
So in some cases, shaman may be the only word that remains. But in English, I don't think we should be using it, especially as white people. I don't think we should be using it. I think we should just be using spirit worker.
I think so too, personally. But, you know, these things can take time to...
Right, but six. I think what I'm doing is I want to push back against calling it shamanism the same mm-hmm. way I want to push back against smudge stick
right.
and spirit animal mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Yes.
These are words that clearly don't apply to us, that have been resisted by activists in their native contexts, and so I think it's like it's a respect thing, I think. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're a spirit worker, call yourself a spirit worker. You don't have to call yourself a shaman to claim some, like, imagined heritage or legacy or value, right?
Right.
Spirit workers is a perfectly useful and valuable term to use, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think there's also an exoticization that comes with that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's a... I hate saying these words, but there's a noble savage quality to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It pushes forward that stereotyping. So yeah. That's another reason to resist it.
Definitely.
Elle says, also words have specific meanings and we're doing no one any favors by conflating one with another. Absolutely. That's absolutely true. So like I said, I know a lot of people have built their spirit practices on Michael Harner's core shamanism. I would invite those people to re-examine the roots from which that spiritual practice has developed and consider whether it is still useful or appropriate.
Yeah.
And I would encourage anyone who's looking into starting a spirit practice to just steer clear of core shamanism. You can do better.
Yeah, that's probably a good way to go.
Now that we've gotten all that nitty-gritty logistics out of the way.
All the shamanism out of the way.
Uh-huh. What's spirit work?
Well, spirit work is working with spirits.
Yes, just the basics, yes.
Obviously, the basics. I mean, you could think of mediums as spirit workers.
Mm-hmm. That's another reason I like spirit work, is because it fits a lot of things under that umbrella.
It fits a lot of things, yeah, because mediums are people who obviously communicate with spirit. Mm-hmm.
Traditionally,
with the dead.
Yeah. Because spirit work generally doesn't, it can refer to any kind of spirit.
Yes, that's true. I would say mediums are loosely connected to mm-hmm. to the concept of spirit work because they primarily work with the dead. Doesn't mean they can't work with spirits.
Like a land spirit or a...
Well, or angels, typically.
Yeah, yeah. You
know,
see a lot of mediums do that.
A lot of mediums will channel or a higher spirit mm-hmm. or an angel or something of that nature. But no, when I think of spirit workers, I think of necromancers mm-hmm. who also work with the dead,
mm-hmm.
But in for divination purposes, mm-hmm. For ritual purposes, for spell casting,
right?
You know, calling forth a spirit to do some kind of job, if you will,
right?
That kind of thing. I also think of hedge witches.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson, too bad he's not here because he's a hedge witch. But, you know, the thing with hedge witches is they often get conflated with green witches because there are many similarities. And kitchen witches.
Yeah. I think, though, the difference between hedge witching and what puts it specifically
right.
under a spirit work banner
yeah.
rather than a green work or a kitchen work yeah. banner is that, like, it's not really about the herbs with hedge witching.
While they do also do herbalism and work with natural, you know, with nature spirits and things of that nature, they do specifically ride the hedge, as it were,
right.
from one reality, you know, natural reality, you know, our realm, into the spirit realm, where they journey.
Right.
They do journeys there.
I've seen hedge riding described as the transgression of boundaries.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So like riding over a boundary or a hedge.
Yeah.
And that can be riding from the physical world to the spiritual world. Mm-hmm. And it can also include breaking other boundaries in mm-hmm. your life, right? Mm-hmm. Like social boundaries, things like that.
Yeah. And my understanding is there's multiple ways that they mm-hmm. do a lot of trance work.
Yeah.
And which I think is something you find in a lot of traditions that do spirit work.
The majority, I would say.
You do a lot of, there's a lot of trance work involved, moving into, different levels of consciousness. Mm-hmm. I mean, even in Hecatean witchcraft, there's a level of spirit work that we do, mostly with Hecate, but with also with other spirits as well, as far as doing spell work or doing ritual or doing, calling your soul back to yourself, healing work, things of that nature. It's not to the extent like hedge witchery or right. some other practice.
In a tradition that is like specifically spirit work focused.
Yeah. But like with Hecate and witchcraft, because she is a psychopomp, can learn a form of spirit work that assists in, helping people. When they have passed.
Yeah. Helping them cross
the boundary. Exactly. Which is, as I've mentioned in the past, is something I did for my mother. Mm-hmm. And so I think that a lot of different traditions, if they can incorporate, it may not be specifically built around their practice. That's not the core, like with hedge witchery.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the core of their practice, but I think it can be an aspect.
I think a lot of witches, especially animistic witches mm-hmm. or animistic pagans for that matter, mm-hmm. Are going to do some form of spirit work, even if they do not consider themselves a spirit worker. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't consider myself a spirit worker.
No.
Because I don't do a job. Right. Right? But I work with spirits.
Right.
Right. So I wouldn't consider myself a spirit worker in the sense of like having a job and being bound to the spirits with certain obligations and things like that.
Exactly.
I would say that I definitely do work with spirits in mm-hmm. my regular practice.
Right, right.
I think the big thing for me that distinguishes spirit work from other kinds of work mm-hmm. is that you need some kind of access to the spirit world.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a variety of ways you can go about that.
Mm-hmm.
But journeying or trance is...
That's a big one.
The big one, right?
Yeah. And of course, you can go into a trance state from a variety of
right. Well, I think we did an episode on trances, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, so go listen to the trance episode if you want to know how to enter a trance. But yeah, so you have some kind of access to the spirit world, usually through some kind of trance or another kind of altered state.
Some kind of altered state.
While in the spirit world, you have some kind of communication with spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And you have some kind of propitiation or dealings with the spirits.
Exactly.
Right? So you don't just go and talk to them. You go there for a reason to accomplish something.
For instance, you want to get, you want to do some divination.
Exactly.
You want an answer to a question.
Yep.
Or there's a specific task that needs to be done in a spell
mm-hmm.
that you need, that requires the help
of
a spirit who is tasked by you to accomplish this.
And I also think like we interact with spirits that are embodied
mm-hmm.
regularly, like constantly, because animism.
Yeah. Plant spirits and
stone
and various
spirits,
types
and
of nature
house
spirits,
spirits and all kinds of, spirits.
Yeah.
But I do think there's at least in my experience, there's a difference between the kind of work you do with an embodied spirit and mm-hmm. the kind of work you do in the spirit world.
Yes, I would definitely agree with that. Because you're crossing from
sort of normal reality.
Normal reality, the conscious realm, into a realm of spirit.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not just like with a medium communicating with the dead.
Yeah.
It is entering their domain.
Exactly. And I think that is the big distinction for me between spirit work and work with a spirit.
Yeah.
Because
there's a journey aspect to it.
Yeah. So like, I think almost all of my divination involves communicating with a spirit because I'm communicating with the spirit of the cards. Sometimes I'm communicating with a querent's spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm communicating with spirits around the querent.
Exactly. Or if you're
or with some of my assistants.
Or if you're divining by bones.
Exactly.
Or stones.
Or runes.
Or runes. The Oum.
Exactly. Any kind of divination, I believe, is some kind of consultation between yourself and a spirit,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that kind of divination is very different from going into the spirit yes. world and asking a spirit a question.
Yes, that is very different.
For one thing, much more direct answers in the spirit world.
Yes, yes.
I think some of it is a difference of clarity mm-hmm. and interpretation. Not that there isn't going to be, I mean, in the spirit world, you are still going to be interpreting things through your own sort of right. lens and filter. Mm-hmm. The same way you interpret another person's words right. through your lens and filter. Mm-hmm. But it's just a much more direct form of communication mm-hmm. than interpreting through the divination means.
Right, right. It's not unlike when, again, I'm going to go back to my Hecatean mm-hmm. understanding, because that's where I've done the most journeying work. Mm-hmm. There is a journey that you take through meditation and through trance that draws you into Hecate's cave, mm-hmm. right? And if you're going to do restoration work in the underworld, mm-hmm. there's another journey that you can take up into the starry heavens, if you will,
right, right.
because that is where her mother so you can create a, you can journey to that temple uh-huh. and interact with her or with spirits that assist her.
Right.
You know, so that I think is something that, you know, you go there with a purpose for a reason, to ask a question, to accomplish a spell, to look into the future, to look into the past.
Things to have some kind of communion with a spirit.
Right. To have yep. some kind of a communion with the spirit. You know, and it is a trance state that you go into to get to these places. Mm-hmm. Very similar. It's not the same as perhaps what like hedge witches or other people who do spirit work specifically, mm-hmm. but that's my understanding of what it's like, of journeying into another realm, right. into the realm where they exist.
I think what's interesting and what sort of distinguishes maybe your experiences mm-hmm. from my experiences, your experiences seem to be very structured.
Yeah.
And maybe that's because you have the sort of the authority and the attention of your deity when you do it.
Right, right.
Whereas my journeying experiences have been much more fluid.
Yes. And I think that's probably the experience of most people who do spirit work. But I don't know, because I haven't had right. a chance to, you know.
You really, haven't done that kind of journey.
I haven't done that kind of journey. And I haven't had the chance to really get Jackson to sit down and, okay, right. describe it to me.
Uh-huh. He has a hard time describing it. I've talked to him about it a couple of times.
He does,
he struggles to describe it.
I've gotten some basic ideas of what he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, a journey experience, a journey into the spirit world, right? Because that's really what it is.
Right.
It's different from a meditation.
Right.
Right? It's different from a guided meditation.
Exactly.
It's not like imagination.
Exactly.
It's closer to the experience of a dream.
Yes.
And I think part of that is because there's a lack of control in a dream. Mm-hmm. And there is the same sort of lack of control, not in a sense that makes it like feel dangerous, but in a right. sense of like, these clearly are not my thoughts, right? Like right. my thoughts are not driving
right.
this experience. I am in this experience. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think brings it closer to a dream than to those other kinds of more imaginative experiences. Mm-hmm. I would say my journeys into the spirit world have been very, I think the fluidity is because I am traveling to different parts of it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes spontaneously, sometimes at the direction of another spirit, sometimes just exploring.
Right.
But I think the defining feature is a lack of control over sort of what that environment looks like, mm-hmm. what happens in that environment, who enters that environment, mm-hmm. what interactions we have. Mm-hmm. Those are very spontaneous in a mm-hmm. way that feels more like dreaming.
Right.
But at the same time, I am in control of myself. I am mm-hmm. lucid and conscious, right? Mm-hmm. So like my actions are under my control. The actions of other spirits are not.
Right.
Because they're other spirits and not thought forms or imaginations, right?
Right, exactly.
So I think that's the closest way I can describe mm-hmm. sort of the experience of mm-hmm. entering the spirit world, mm-hmm. is that it feels like being present in a dream. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like lucid dreaming.
No.
Because lucid dreaming, you do have control over the dream.
Right.
But it feels like if you could be yourself present in mm-hmm. the state of a dream. Mm-hmm. That's what the spirit world feels like to me.
Right. I think for my experiences, it starts out as a structured, you are going to a specific destination. Mm-hmm. And then once you get there, it, you know, you allow yourself to move into that environment mm-hmm. and allow it to take shape around you mm-hmm. and then move on from there. Whether you're communing with the deity or with one of her, you know, one of her servants,
or yeah. Or one of the other gods she works with.
Or one of the other gods. It just depends on how you get yourself there, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're willing to allow yourself to experience.
What you're willing to permit, yeah.
Yeah, what you're willing to allow yourself to experience. And I have found that when you allow yourself to experience mm-hmm. that realm and being, it becomes a very, like you said, dreamlike, but also a very real
mm-hmm.
feeling space.
Yeah.
A place to be. Like, you can journey farther.
Mm-hmm.
And I have done that, you know, moved past my, where the basic beginning is.
Right.
And moved back and moved into.
Moved past the staging point.
Yes. Moved past the staging point into another part.
Right. Another section.
Another section of where I can learn from or mm-hmm. interact with.
Githa asks, have you had to work through blocking yourself due to fear when you were just starting?
Well, I would say when I was just starting, I don't know that I had a lot of fear because I was being guided
right.
at that time.
Right. And you had teachers.
I had teachers. So by the time I was doing it myself,
mm-hmm.
I had gotten to understand and know the space. I'd gotten to right. understand the mechanics of how to get there.
Right. The staging point.
The staging point.
You were
point.
Very comfortable with
it. I was very comfortable with it. So I could then allow myself to just be free.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it helps if you have someone to guide you through it in the mm-hmm. beginning
mm-hmm.
so that you don't have that fear.
Yeah. I can say I did not have a teacher,
mm-hmm.
and I absolutely did have that fear.
Mm-hmm.
I had fear, and I had sort of logical resistance.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a very logical person, and so I have struggled for a long time with accessing spiritual experiences and sort of shutting off logic brain just enough to do that. And then I also had fear because, obviously, this is it can be dangerous to venture into spirit. You can run across hostile spirits.
Yeah.
You can get lost. Mm-hmm. You can
bring something back.
You can bring something back. You can fail to reground yourself in your body properly. There are plenty of things that you can do in spirit work mm-hmm. and in especially entering the spirit world
mm-hmm.
that can cause you problems. And if you like me don't have a teacher,
yeah.
that can be difficult to navigate, right? And so the first few times I attempted journeying, nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
I did not get out of my body at all.
Right, right.
How I worked past that was becoming familiar with the things that could go wrong mm-hmm. and how I could fix them.
Mm-hmm.
And once I had that knowledge, I had less anxiety about what the consequences could be.
Mm-hmm.
I also did some work with myself
mm-hmm.
To become comfortable with my fylgja,
mm-hmm.
which is a Norse sort of spiritual construct, which is connected to me. It's not a wholly separate spirit, but it's also not wholly myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so my fylgja often leads me through unfamiliar parts of the spirit world,
mm-hmm.
or it discourages me from certain kinds of behavior, or it protects me from the actions of other spirits.
Mm-hmm.
My filia, because it is a wholly spiritual part of myself,
right.
a wholly spiritual being connected to me, is more comfortable in the spirit world than I am.
Mm-hmm.
So once I had built trust in and comfort with my filia, I was able to trust it in the spirit world enough to sort of push past that fear.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I have more experience in the spirit world, I've had a lot of interactions with spirits there, I am much more comfortable there and I don't have that fear. And so
right.
I don't have that block anymore.
Right.
But there certainly was a block when I was anxious and concerned about what the consequences could be or whether I was
mm-hmm.
going to do it right. Or when I couldn't shut down logic brain
right.
And convince myself that, like, yes, this is a thing that can happen.
Yeah.
Right.
And I do think it's important to remember that you can absolutely, at least in my experience, maybe, like I said, I'm not, you know, traditionally
mm-hmm.
a spirit worker. I'm not, you know, a hedge witch. But in my experience, you can be guided into constructing a place
mm-hmm.
where you can retreat to.
Right, that's the classic.
For any reason, you don't feel safe.
Yeah, I think that's the classic sort of astral temple.
Yeah. Yeah.
Concept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you create that astral temple as you are beginning
mm-hmm.
and get used to that space and create it.
And sort of pin a landmark in it.
Pin a landmark
so you can get back
in
to it.
It. Exactly. Put up whatever protections you feel are
mm-hmm.
necessary,
mm-hmm.
things like that. If you take the time to construct that,
yeah.
you always have a place to return to.
Yeah. As sort of an anchor point.
As an anchor point.
I will say I have never constructed an astral temple. What
mm-hmm.
I do have is some recurrent dreamscapes
mm-hmm.
I used to have, I think I've talked about this on the podcast years and years ago. I used to have very regular recurring dreams mm-hmm. where the contents were always different, but the locations were always the same.
Right.
So I knew those spaces very well. And whether I constructed them in the spirit world or those places always existed in the spirit world and were sort of leaking into my dreams and I was just able to find them, mm-hmm. I know where those places are in the spirit world.
Right.
So I am always able to navigate back to them. Like mm-hmm. the one I usually start in and return to is the Wandering Wood, which is just basically a ring of birch trees, mm-hmm. identical birch trees with very little variation between them that just goes on forever, and it stretches in a very narrow strip of mm-hmm. woodland mm-hmm. With nothing on either side of it. And so I am able to just go, I'm able to return constantly to the Wandering Wood, and by passing between or through certain mm-hmm. trees, I can navigate to different parts of the spirit world, right? Mm-hmm. So it's sort mm-hmm. of a crossroads location.
Right. I think it's easier sometimes if you allow yourself to get into that trance state.
Mm-hmm.
So that you are more open?
I would say it's not even easier. I would say it's essential.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You almost have to enter a trance state to enter the spirit world.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are probably very, very experienced spirit workers yeah. who are able to just, you know, zip in and out. I am not one of those people.
No,
I certainly
I do either.
Need to access a trance state
yeah.
to enter the spirit world.
Yep.
Not because necessarily to be aware of it, but yeah. to enter it.
Because there is an aspect of trust. You have mm-hmm. to be able to trust yourself. If you
any of your spirit companions.
The spirit companions or deities with whom you are working, mm-hmm. You know, in the astral realm or the mm-hmm. spirit realm, you know, you have to be able to trust what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that you're safe.
Yeah, and there is it's
and
an,
that you can
and
protect
it's,
yourself.
Exactly. It is important to balance that trust with mm-hmm. caution,
yes.
right? Because
yeah.
you do never know who you will meet in the spirit world.
Exactly.
There are all kinds of spirits. Mm-hmm. Many of them are great fun or mm-hmm. tremendous allies, and some mm-hmm. of them also will just be assholes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think Devin Hunter has that book, mm-hmm. The book, Witch's Book of Spirits.
Yes.
Which I always recommend when it comes to any kind of spirit work, negotiations. Mm-hmm. Understanding spirits. It's a very comprehensive book.
Yeah, Devin really recommends sort of writing up binding contracts with yeah. any spirits you interact with. Yeah. I don't do that, but I do appreciate the premise behind
yeah.
it, right? And I think it's especially useful yeah. for people who are just beginning their
yeah.
practice with
yeah.
spirits.
I think it would give it gives people, especially those who are being
right. some comfort.
Some comfort and a basis to from
yes.
which to start.
Yeah. It gives you a baseline.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you can't find a teacher, there are
some resources.
There are some
out
resources
there, yeah.
out there that can help you learn mm-hmm. how to navigate.
Learn the process.
Yeah. yeah. And I know I've talked about that book multiple times over the years.
It's a good book.
But it's a good book. It's one of my favorites, actually.
Yeah, I like it too.
Join our Tiger Crystal at Apothecary Teas. This shop produces fragrant, aesthetically beautiful teas that delight all the senses with handcrafted tea blends from white to red to green. This week, Ode suggests lavender chai with a blend of blackberry leaf, lavender, cinnamon, clove, cardamom, and fennel. Find them at apothecaryteastore.com or on Facebook at Apothecary Teas LLC.
Hail Dictinus!
Hail Dictinus. I know we don't need any more tea in this house, but that sounds really good.
Doesn't it just? It's just, I was reading it on the, they've had it for a while, but I was reading the description just going, ooh, I want it.
Ding dang. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. So some other stuff about, talking again, I guess, a little bit about what I think distinguishes someone like myself who just works with spirits
right.
from a spirit worker.
Right. Well, that's their practice.
Where, that is their thing.
Yeah.
I think of those people as having spiritual expertise.
Mm-hmm.
They often also have some kind of healing expertise.
Yeah.
Often they are in a healing job of some mm-hmm. kind. Spirit worker also is traditionally like a community job. It
yeah.
is a role you have in your community. Now, it might not be an exclusive role. It might be, you know, a role you have in addition to your normal job,
mm-hmm.
but it is a position of spiritual authority, and it is a job that you do for a community,
mm-hmm.
which is part of the reason I don't think I even could consider myself a spirit worker, because
right.
I don't have like a community that I do this work for.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
I think if you are a solitary, mm-hmm. I don't think it's really even necessary or appropriate for you to be a spirit worker job, right? Mm-hmm. Just because if you have no community to minister to,
right,
you know, you're really just doing work for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. Mm-hmm. Most of the work I do is for myself.
Right.
But that's what distinguishes me from a spirit worker. Right. Right.
If I remember correctly, Mortellus, mm-hmm. who wrote Do I Have to Wear Black?
Yep.
They consider themselves, or they are, a mm-hmm. necromancer.
Mm-hmm.
But their job is as a mortician.
Mm-hmm.
So they use their skill.
They're very connected.
As a necromancer.
Yeah.
Working with spirits in that professional aspect mm-hmm. as well.
Sarenth Odinson, I would consider a spirit worker,
oh, yeah.
right?
Absolutely.
Who works with his community, both spiritually and in yes. his day job.
Yes, absolutely.
Sarenth, I would say, is sort of my model of a spirit worker.
Mm-hmm.
The ideal spirit worker is mm-hmm. Sarenth Odinson.
Well, yeah, because...
From around Grandfather Fryer, if
yeah, exactly. you're because, you know, Sarenth channels
mm-hmm.
the deities or the spirits that he's yep. working with, including the... What is it?
The runes. Yeah. The runvatir.
That's very powerful to experience. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that is something that, like if they are a psychopomp or a mm-hmm. necromancer or something, that can be an aspect.
Yeah. It can fall under the spirit worker umbrella. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yep. Exactly. Because, you know, a lot of witches and pagans aspect deities.
Right.
But I think that's different from what a spirit worker does. In some aspects.
Well, like I said, spirit work is such a broad umbrella,
that's
right?
True.
So there are some spirit work traditions where there is no channeling done at all. There's
that's
no
true.
Invocation. There's
that's
only
true.
Evocations
right.
or there are only divinations or only astral work.
That's true.
It's such a versatile category. And that's part yeah. of why I resist things like core shamanism that try mm-hmm. to like cram it all into one.
Yeah.
I
do think it's interesting, and I imagine there are people who specialize in something particular
yeah, definitely,
within
definitely.
The idea of, you know, in the concept of being a spirit worker.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think there's a lot of areas.
Yeah. I do think there is a difference between aspecting mm-hmm. and channeling and maybe even a difference between channeling and being ridden.
Yes.
Like
yes.
By a loi.
Yeah, I think so.
In voodoo. They seem to have different intensities,
mm-hmm,
right? And
mm-hmm.
Maybe different degrees of overlap, right? Like, I think mm-hmm. aspecting can be, not to call it casual, but it can be less intense,
mm-hmm.
and it can be, it can involve the self still being present, right?
Yes. That is my understanding from, because I know that the Aquarian Temple,
mm-hmm.
they do a lot of aspecting
mm-hmm.
of deities for their rituals,
mm-hmm.
which is very powerful.
Yeah. And maybe this is just a difference in vocabulary, but to me, aspecting is taking on an aspect of a deity,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Channeling is speaking
right.
for the deity,
right?
Right. And then being ridden
yeah.
is like, you're not in your body anymore. The god took over it.
Yeah, I feel like that's in some ways there's like there can be a combination of those.
Maybe. And like I said, maybe it's a vocabulary thing, but that's how I would define those terms,
right,
I think.
Right.
Whether that's how other people define them or not, I don't know. The other thing that I think sometimes is described as separating a spirit worker from a person who does work with
mm-hmm.
spirits
mm-hmm.
is that it is traditionally, in a lot of cultures, it is either inherited,
mm-hmm.
so like you come from a line
mm-hmm.
of spirit workers,
mm-hmm.
or it is the result of some sort of initiatory crisis,
right?
Which traditionally was something like an illness
mm-hmm.
Or a near-death experience.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the idea was that you had to experience what it was like to die
right.
in order to work with spirits,
mm-hmm.
to be called as a spirit worker,
right?
Right.
Right.
I don't know. Like I said, those things are tradition bound.
Right.
So if you're not in one of those particular traditions, that may not apply.
Mm-hmm.
I think you certainly can still be a spirit worker.
Oh, absolutely.
Without one of those experiences,
mm-hmm.
but not in one of those traditions, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's one of those tradition specific things.
Yeah.
Let's see. Another thing I wanted to talk about was spirit guides or spirit companions.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never had a spirit guide.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I believe you did, didn't you?
I have.
Okay.
So
can you describe the spirit guide thing?
Well, that's kind of hard. it's a hard thing to describe. Yeah, I've had several spirit guides, especially when I was working as a medium. I don't really
mm-hmm.
work as a medium anymore.
Anymore, yeah.
You know, I'll do intuitive tarot, but I don't really do medium stick work.
Yeah.
But when I was an active medium, I had several spirit guides
mm-hmm.
Who I was introduced to through a form of meditation, mm-hmm. took myself into an altered state, into a meeting place, if you will.
Right. So a location in the spirit world,
yeah,
probably.
A location in the spirit world. I was introduced first to Brother Marcus, who was the initiating spirit guide. And then over time, more were introduced to me through him. Mm-hmm. So they would be there acting as a guide. And I always knew when a particular spirit guide was with me based on which side I felt their presence on. Mm.
This always fascinates me because I've had temporary relationships with plenty of spirits. Mm-hmm. But I have never built a permanent mm-hmm. spirit guide kind of relationship with one.
The concept, I guess, is that they've always been with you, guiding mm-hmm. you in some way or other, whether you were conscious of it or not. Since I have begun working with deities, they have stepped back. They would probably step forward again if I were to reach out to them. They were a big, when I was doing, medium work, mediumship work, they were an active part of my daily life. They were present. Mm-hmm. And I could ask them for, I'm getting lost, show me which way to go.
Right.
Kind of advice. But mostly they were a conduit, mm-hmm. a way to lead other ghosts, if you will.
Right, because you were doing medium work.
I was doing mediumship. So other earthbound spirits or spirits of the dead, mm-hmm. they would funnel them in. Yeah.
Interesting.
They would allow them to come forward. And sometimes they would even give me, don't trust that one.
This is fascinating to me.
So, yeah. But again, I haven't done that work in a number of years now. So, so they have stepped back because I'm primarily work with my deities and mm-hmm. nature spirits and things of that nature now. But like I said, if I reached out, they would come.
You'd get a ping back from Brother Marcus.
Yeah. He's like, where you been?
Interesting. Mm-hmm. That is interesting. Like I said, I've never had anything like that. I think the closest maybe I can get is the Filia, but the Filia, mm-hmm. like I said, is not really a separate spirit.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think of spirit guides necessarily as in the same realm as doing spirit work, mm-hmm.
Really?
No, not really. I mean, they're just, some people would consider them guardian angels, mm-hmm. Or guides, who were probably lived before. Some did, some didn't. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that would be part of someone maybe. I don't know. I've never really considered it.
There's spirits that you work with, so.
Yeah. So I guess I never really thought of it like that.
Yeah.
They were just there.
Right. But you do go meet them in...
Yeah, I did.
The spirit world.
Yeah. Well, that's where I was introduced to them.
Right, but I guess then you didn't work with them in the spirit world afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I think the difference is.
Okay.
Is that I met them in the spirit world. I went to that realm and they introduced themselves mm-hmm. to me. And then they came forward and joined me so that I could sense them. I didn't always have to go into the spirit world to communicate with them. They would just be there. Like I said, I knew one in particular was always on my left. And if I got a sensation or heard in my mind a sentence or got a description of something or something of that nature, it was always one particular spirit guide.
Retreated.
They've retreated. They've stepped back. And I think I'll always...
Maybe you just don't need them.
Yeah, I think that's part of it, too, is because I believe personally that spirit guides or, any spirit companion, if you will, that you work with, there are, just like with people in your life, there are times where they're very important mm-hmm. and they are guiding you and teaching you and helping you learn lessons. But if you get to a point where the lesson has been learned.
Right.
They can step back and go to others that might need their guidance as well.
Intriguing.
But anyway, that's just my own personal belief.
Right. Yeah. No. Well, and I don't have any experience on this, so I'm always interested to hear about that.
I'm sure other people who have spirit guides or work with spirit guides or through their mediumship mm-hmm. or any other kind of spirit work, they would have a different perspective.
Right.
But I always found
You get three witches in a room, you'll get four opinions.
Exactly, exactly. But I always found it very interesting to work with them. Mm-hmm.
That is interesting. Okay, well, I guess that's everything we have to talk about for spirit work, unless you have something else.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, cool. Like I said, if you want to know how to enter trance states, which certainly if you're starting out are going to be necessary to get to the spirit world,
yeah,
go listen to our trance episode. Mm-hmm. We're not going to repeat all that information here. Yeah, like I said, I think there are reasons to be wary of entering the spirit world, obviously.
Always be careful.
Always take reasonable precautions. Yeah. But I do think perhaps people are more anxious about it than mm-hmm. is necessarily mm-hmm. Deserved.
Yeah.
So if you are interested in doing any kind of spirit work, or if you, especially if you have a spiritual question or a spiritual mm-hmm. problem, consider dealing with it in the spirit world.
Yeah. And if you are anxious about it, mm-hmm. you know, do it as part, you know, take part in a ritual.
Yeah.
Where that...
Find a teacher.
Find a teacher. Because there are a lot of rituals that will take place in the spirit world.
That will do at least some amount of spirit work.
Some amount of spirit work in entering into the spirit world. Mm-hmm. And that, if you're guided into it, it can be a much more calming experience. I guess.
Yes. It depends very much on your ritual leader.
Yes, depending on the ritual leader.
I did have one ritual I attended once where we entered a spiritual space.
Yeah.
And they did not do a great job of leading us back out of it, and I had to rely on my philia to get me back attached to my body.
there is that.
So fortunately, I had that experience.
Yeah. I think that is, you know, it can be a very valuable experience, and mm-hmm. it can be a safer way if you're just not sure what you're doing or how you feel about it. Usually in those types of scenarios, if you have a good ritual leader.
Right, that's a big part.
They will have people...
Who can lead you out.
Who can lead you out, who help you get grounded mm-hmm. if you become overwhelmed.
Yeah. A good ritual leader, will have those
They will always
set
have
up.
That aspect.
We'll have someone, at least one person prepared to do sort of emergency maintenance.
Yep, to pull you out mm-hmm. and get you... Close the door, make sure you're back into your personal space, into your body and have grounded. And can also go over the experience with you.
Ahead of time.
Ahead.
So if you are anxious... try to find a ritual leader who will go through at least the basics of the ritual mm-hmm. with you ahead of time, and who you can confirm has things set up for if you fail to get back out properly.
Yep.
And as long as you can meet those criteria, you can probably trust that ritual leader to lead you through a first experience in the spirit world.
Exactly. Exactly. So I recommend it's a great way to start mm-hmm. personally.
Yeah.
But just be prepared. A lot of times
it can be quite intense.
They can be very intense and very emotional.
Mm-hmm. Especially the first time you do it.
Yep.
And also be prepared for the fact that you may struggle to enter the spirit world.
Yeah. It's a skill.
Exactly.
That
it is.
You learn.
It is a skill that you build and learn over time.
Yeah. It is.
So even if you go to a ritual where there is a spirit world component, and everyone else seems to be getting it, and you just aren't getting it, mm-hmm. it's okay. You may just need more practice.
Yeah, exactly. Because you have to be able to relax and let go.
You have to be able to release logic mind.
Yep.
While staying conscious and aware of yourself, right? Especially if you struggle to enter a trance state, you mm-hmm. will struggle to enter the spirit world. So you need to find a method that works for you to enter a trance state as well.
Yeah, exactly.
But as long as you can get all those ducks in a row, which I know sounds like a lot.
Yeah, it's worth learning how to do.
I think so, yeah.
Even if you don't do it all the time, even if it is not a regular part of your practice.
I'll be honest, I don't always go into the spirit world with an objective. Sometimes I just like going in and seeing what's up.
Yeah, and if it's not your calling, that is okay too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's not for everyone.
It's not for everyone.
No practice is for everyone. Going back again to I can't pendulum, there's going to be something that is just not for you. It might be spirit work. That's okay. It won't make you any less of a witch or a pagan.
Yeah. And of course, we've just given you a very, very, very brief idea. If you want to learn more, there are books out mm-hmm. there. There's a lot of really good hedge witch books out there that you can learn about riding the hedge and what it means to cross into the spirit
look
world.
Into your own tradition
look
because
into
there
your own
may
tradition.
Be spirit work practices in your tradition. Like there's siver in Norse traditions, mm-hmm. Which is its whole separate thing that mm-hmm. I don't have time to get into. Mm-hmm. But there are probably some kind of spirit work practices in your tradition somewhere. Yep. So look around and see what those might be.
And while they may start out or look like guided meditation to begin with, they can build into...
Right, you need to build those skills.
You build those skills into transferring your spirit into right. the spirit world to work and communicate.
Yeah. Guided meditation can be a good lead in. Yep. I think eventually, like, I don't use it
eventually
anymore.
Eventually,
you'll drop it.
Yeah. Exactly. Eventually, you don't need it anymore. Yep. And it just becomes a part of what you do in your practice.
It's just a natural extension of your practice.
Yep.
So, okay. You can find us on Google if you Google or use the search engine of your choice for the number 3 and the words pagans and a cat, or the number 3 and the letters PAAC. You can also find us online at the number 3 pagansandacat.com, where you can find links to the things we do, including our services tab, where you can get, for entertainment only, tarot readings, and Gwen's archived Paleo's Pagan blog, where she has written about many, many things. Mm-hmm. You can also find Gwen on TikTok, where she does TikTok things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's all the things.
And if you do want to reach out to us personally, my email is gwen@threepagansandacat.com. Mm-hmm. Odes is ode@threepagansandacat.com.
You can also reach me just through the contact form on the website. Yep. That goes straight to my email.
Exactly. If you would like to ask us to do a reading for you, mm-hmm. or if you have a burning question that you think one of us can answer.
I don't always do a great job about responding to questions, I know, because sometimes I read them, think I'll get back to that in half an hour, and then forget that I received that email. So never feel afraid to send me a follow-up.
But yeah, we are available to, mm-hmm. to reach out to. So.
Yep. Okay. So I think that's everything.
Yep.
And goodbye.
Goodbye.